Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Joe Connolly, along with producer Nile Caruso, with Matthew Sarave, founder of Wizard Creative Studios in Queens. We're going back to talk to some of the people who we spoke with early in the pandemic and see how they're doing now. And Matthew, during the pandemic, as I recall, you told us that you were shut down, obviously, and working on ways to grow your business better, smarter, faster. How'd that go? Please tell us.
Well, I don't know if we grew it because of being better, smarter, or faster, but we definitely grew it. I think there's a lot of pent-up demand for what it is that we do, and people really wanted to get out. And you know, been a couple of years since companies had their outing together, their fundraiser, the host of activities, brands felt like they weren't to communicate directly with their customers again. So we had the best year in our 22-year history in 2022 as a result of all the pent-up demand. I think we continue to take market share locally by focusing specifically on delivering service excellence to our customers.
And I should have said this first, but people should know that Wizard Studios creates amazing stages and settings for everything from corporate events to fundraisers to rock concerts and even to political campaigns. You can look at their website and see some of the amazing work that they do. But one thing you said, Matthew, I remember, was never put so succinctly. You told us that you were trying to find higher and larger spending clients and using some of your existing contacts to get to them. Because what I remember is that you put it, would you rather have 100 clients paying $1,000 a month or 10 clients paying $10,000 a month?
Exactly. I learned that a few years ago, and it really helped me focus on the kind of customers that we were trying to acquire. And with that focus, and you know, with our leadership team, we literally had been focusing on that in strategic planning. And through 2022, from the last 3 years, we had raised our average ticket price by about 40%. So we're working hard to produce less events for higher average tickets.
So how's it looking for this year, Matthew?
I remain incredibly optimistic about the prospects for 2023. I can't fathom that the incredible wave of opportunities that hit us in 2022 will continue through all of 23. First month of the year, we're flat over last year, but I think we were also still dealing with some of the vestiges of COVID at beginning of 2022. So, optimistic that we're going to have a good year. We hope the arrow points up at the end of the year. But we experienced such incredible growth in 22 over 2021. We were up over 115%, like well beyond what we had ever imagined we could handle as an organization. I'd be very satisfied with a 10% increase in business year over year from where we were in 2022.
Neil.
Yeah, that 150% pace is kind of hard to keep up with.
It's unsustainable. Yeah. I thought I was crazy saying we're going to experience we were predicting like 67% growth year over year, because we knew we were coming out of a pandemic year into what we assumed would be a more normal pace of business. We didn't expect the insane amount of demand for the services that we provide to the extent, sir, that we were turning away business because we couldn't rightfully take on more opportunities and potentially mess up somebody's event. You know, I've never experienced anything like that in more than 20 years in business.
So Matthew, to that point then, events are back. Obviously, companies are struggling with, you know, inflation and higher prices. And so what types of events are in demand right now? And why do you think that the numbers have come down for you particularly?
What types of events are in demand currently? I mean, you name it. People put off their weddings, their family gatherings. So from the social side, there's tons of opportunity. People hadn't gathered in person for fundraising in 2 or 3 years. So again, there, you know, there's a groundswell to get caught up. In addition to that, brands want to communicate and reach out directly to their affinity groups, to their customers. So there's been a tremendous groundswell around brands interacting face-to-face with their customers, trying to win new customers. So from every angle, whether it's experiential marketing or social or corporate or fundraising, it's been an incredible ride over the last 12 to 14 months. Really, it started in the fourth quarter of 2021. In terms of, you know, the cycle of our business, we are a seasonal business. We start every year sort of slowly, and then the roller, it's like click, 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 click up the roller coaster. And then when we hit second quarter around April, things really like explode. We do double the amount of business in Q2 that we typically do in Q1.
Interesting.
You have more employees now than?
We do, than ever before.
Than ever before. How many employees?
Approaching 50 full time.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Just curious, how far in advance would a company have to contact you to create for them a better than normal, better than average type of event? Because I know you do like architects drawings in advance of what it'll look like and everything like that. What's your time frame?
So, you know, I love a long runway. And in the creative services side of our business, we tend to get a longer runway. We're working on a brand activation for an alcohol brand that came in December, and the installation is in March. That's a good runway for us. On the technical production side, the AV side, unfortunately, 50% of the business comes within a week of the opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's just par for the course these days.
Neil?
Right. You know, there are a lot of challenges in putting on an event, including getting audience. How do you coach businesses on generating audience so that this big production that you put on is, in their eyes, you know, worth it?
So, Neil, we don't really play in the content realm, mm-hmm. right? Our clients provide the content, but content is king. And what I do when I have conversations with my clients, for example, we work at the top of the World Trade Center on the 102nd floor of One World Trade Center there. And I do tell our customers, hey, focus on the content. I know you want people to see the amazing views, but where the stage is, let's put something behind the presenters so that you can focus. You think about theater, right? And in the theater, there's a proscenium. And then there's a set, and then we light the thing that we want the audience to focus on in a moment. And it's the same thing in event production when I've got somebody on stage delivering a message. Content is king. So I want to create an environment where the attendees are focused on the presenter and not on things around them that are distraction.
Very interesting.
Matthew, there's a picture on your website of that is so good, I think that it is not a real subway car, but a subway car that you and your staff created.
Tell me,
is that a fabrication of yours?
It is.
Wow.
We work with the MTA, and we showed them the video as a project that we worked on, and they were like, wow, you probably can make that a lot faster than our guys that are making the actual subway cars.
But there's no engine or anything. But I'm telling you, I really said, I think you know, that's a mock-up of a subway car. And I looked at it some more. I honestly, from the website, couldn't tell.
Yeah, it was a nonprofit fundraiser that we did, and it was a great great cause, right? So they were training or tutoring kids from the outer boroughs, and they would say to them, come into our offices in the city for tutoring and helping them get into college. And they realized, gosh, the kids are spending like 2 hours, some of them commuting in and out to our offices for an hour of tutoring. We're going to start sending our tutors to the kids in the outer boroughs. So to raise funds for that, at their fundraiser, we created a subway car, and the windows of the subway car were video screens, and the doors worked. They opened and closed. And so people would go into the subway car and you'd hear the stand clear, the closing doors, and the doors would close. And then we would start a video on the screens of a train moving out of a station. And then it told the story of this nonprofit and how they were moving into the boroughs to serve the kids so they could spend more time with the academics and less time getting to and from the tutors.
I think we're done. I don't have anything to top that story. That's amazing creativity, Matthew. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Where does this come from you? Where do you find people like this? What did you do before you started this business?
I'm a sales guy, Joe. I grew up as a sales guy, but I've was in theater in high school. I was entertainment committee chairman in college. I'm very, very fortunate in that I am passionate about what I do, and I'm so fortunate to surround myself with other people who share a passion for what it is that we do at Wizard Studios, which is creating experiences that leave an impression on our audience second to none.
Wow.
So grateful for having the opportunity.
You're a heck of a sales guy and a heck of a designer. You must be a good boss, too. Thanks a lot, Matthew. Wizard Studios.